It's time to hear from the voice of the Brewers.
Fly ball center field. It's hit well. Grisham back. It is gone! Another Mother's Day miracle for the Brewers.
Jeff Levering is brought to you by Carbless Premium ready-to-drink cocktails. Carbless. Liss is more. Find Carbless at your local grocer today.
Appreciate a little Huey Lewis in the news to bring me in today. Love that.
Thank you, and I love Huey Lewis in the news, so I'm all about it.
Jeff Levering on Jen, Gabe, and Chewy.
Can't think of a better day to have Jeff Levering joining the show than after the performance that the Miz and the Brewers had at AmFam Field yesterday, beating the Cardinals. I think 5-1 was the final, right? It's so funny because the runs matter, but really the win matters. Jeff, good morning. How are you doing today? I think I waved you as I was driving out of the parking lot and you guys were walking out of the ballpark yesterday.
Yeah, I did. That was it. So I'm certainly glad to know that it was you. So awesome. That was fun. I am doing great today. It's always a great day after a great win. It felt like the score was not 5-1. It felt like the score was more like 10-0.
Jeff, we all just all agreed that Miz is must watch whatever for the Miz. Who's the last player on the Brewers that garnered that much attention? We said probably it's been CC, where it was must watch, whether TV or ballpark. Are we missing anybody?
I would say Christian Yelich in 18 and 19 when he was on those runs. Like every time he came to the plate, it was like, I don't know what this guy's going to do. And it's a really, you didn't want to miss it. I would also venture to say every time Corbin Burnes took the mound in his Cy Young season in 21, you kind of wanted to be on the edge of your seat watching, seeing what he was going to accomplish. I mean, he threw a combined no-hitter with Josh Hader in September. So I would put those two guys in the must-watch, but I don't think that either of them compares to what Mizorowski's doing right now.
Because it feels like an event every time he throws, Jeff. Like there's just a certain buzz, not even necessarily in the ballpark. I feel like just among the fan base every time he throws, because he might do something you've never seen before.
Yeah, it's a lot like Skeens when he first came up. This is Paul Skeens 2.0, because you just don't know. And now Skeens is continuing to do it. Now it's Mizorowski throwing 103 miles an hour. He threw 57 pitches over 100 miles an hour yesterday. No one has ever done that. The previous high was 45. So he didn't just say goodbye to the record. He waved to it goodbye and then decided to lap it. Really impressive stuff from what Miz did yesterday. Throwing a ton of strikes. I mean, he walked a leadoff batter, then didn't give up another base runner until the sixth inning. It was incredible.
Jeff Levering joins us on the Yingling Hotline. Yingling is the oldest brewery in America, now officially in Wisconsin. DG Yingling and Son, Pottsville, PA. Enjoy responsibly. What's the ceiling for him? I know he was on Mookie Betts' podcast, and he said he thinks he can throw 105. He has yet to hit 104, but I still think that's out there as the weather warms up this year. I mean, I don't think it's out of the realm of possibility to have a 300 strikeout season. Like, what are we talking, man, for this year for the Miz?
Well, he's already at the quarter pole, so he made his 11th start yesterday, and he's already at 100 strikeouts. So if he ends up making 30 starts, you kind of do the math there, 300 strikeouts is certainly within the realm of possibilities. I don't know what the ceiling is, Jen. I don't, because he's creating new ceilings every time he pitches. So it's just, okay, well, what's next? What's next? What's next? I do think that he's going to hit 104 traditionally. He has hit 103.6. So in the roundup game, definitely 104. But I think he can just do straight 104. I think that it's in the tank. It's unbelievable. And now he's throwing a cutter to go along with a slider. We have defined pitches, even though StatCast is still behind in naming what these pitches are. It still says it's a slider at 97. It is a cutter. He's throwing his slider at 91, plus that nasty curveball. He didn't throw a changeup yesterday against the Cardinals. He didn't need it. So it's, hey, what kind of video game controller are we using next time?
Jeff, I know we're over a month away, but, well, All-Star voting's probably coming fairly quickly. Who would make the All-Star team right now on this roster?
a Miz. I mean, that's a given. I think that's Terang. The easy one.
Terang.
I think that Terang has a really good chance. William Contreras has a really good chance at the catching position. He's arguably the best catcher in the National League. I would say that those are your three for sures. If Kyle Harrison continues to do what he's doing, he's got a really good chance to make an All-Star game. So you have three for sures, and then a fourth as a possibility.
Churio. I mean, there's a lot of time.
Maybe he's only played for 3 weeks.
Yeah.
I mean, he didn't play in April, so that kind of puts him behind the eight ball. There are a lot of good left fielders in the league. He's not putting up gaudy numbers to this point. Again, he still has time to have a super productive season. But when it's all said, I'm not sure he's going to be an All-Star this year. He will be a multiple All-Star by the time it's all said and done in his career, but I'm not sure it's going to be this year.
Disappointed you left off Major League wins leader Aaron Ashby, but, you know, that's a different discussion for a different time, Jeff. He's got 8 wins, leads the entire league. I don't know what else the guy can do. You mentioned Kyle Harrison. He's going today for the Crew. I feel like he's being overshadowed a little bit, not necessarily in a bad way, it's just because Miz takes up all of this oxygen. How much,
yeah.
I mean, he's incredibly exciting, and if Miz wasn't on the team, he would be the guy we're all talking about, right? Because he's doing outlandish things every time he takes them out.
Yeah, he really is, and he has talked about this pretty vocally about the fact that he likes pitching after Miz does. And it's funny, I feel like we talked about this the last week, but when you see Mizorowski throw, and he's throwing 103, and then the guy that follows him, or maybe even the next half inning, throwing 95, it looks like you're watching a Little League game. It's insane. And here comes Kyle Harrison, who's throwing 97, 98. He was brilliant last time out against the Cubs. He does enjoy the challenge after pitching after Mizorowski, just because these guys push each other. Okay, well, Miz did this. Well, maybe I'm going to try and do this. I'm just going to try and one-up you. So you have those bragging rights within the clubhouse. But these guys push each other. Kyle Harrison has done an amazing job, and I can only imagine. I'm not watching it every day, but what the Boston media is doing with comparison of what the Brewers got back in that trade and what they are getting back in that trade, I can only imagine some of the vitriol that is coursing through the veins of Red Sox fans.
Jeff, I was sitting in 110 yesterday, so directly across the ballpark from the tarps off section. How have you felt about the tarps off phenomenon that I believe began in college football? We did a story on it on game day, Oklahoma State, and has made its way to Major League Baseball and AmFam Field.
All right, two humble brags for you there, Jen. Nice job. Good seats in 110 and then college game day.
Fact,
nice job.
They're humble means I did my job. I was bragging there.
Yeah, that was big time brags. I think it's great. Listen, I know there was a lot of social media stuff that was out there for the Saturday and Sunday games, but those games were sold out and people were sitting in the seats. So there's no place for those people to physically go to gather and do the tarps off stuff. And I get that. I understand that. I didn't understand all the anger from people out there in the Twitterverse. But if there's open seats up in those sections on the course of the night, get after it. Have fun. I think it's great. I think the vibes in the ballpark when that is happening is a lot of fun. People are gathering and having a good time, and the roll call is really cool. I think it's great. It means people are excited about the product that you're putting out there on the field, and they want to get behind you and cheer for your team. So I'm all in for it. I think it's a lot of fun.
It was a noticeable boost in energy. Noticeable because they're doing the chants, they're doing the, you know, they're let's go Brewers, and it's cascading down onto the field. Like I said, all the way across, it sounded like the entire stadium was chanting it. So it's definitely infusing some energy. And again, not that, you know, Jacob Mizorowski isn't capable of infusing energy himself, and Christian Yelich hitting a home run early in the game infuses energy itself. But it does feel like in those waning innings, you know, you're getting to the bullpen, you know, people have had too many dollar dogs. Those guys were like, hey, man, let's go, you know, get awake out there.
We still got a ball game going on. Let's get to 4-run lead. Let's get this thing going. I think it is cool. And again, like you said, Jen, as that group starts to get themselves riled up, it filters into the rest of the crowd. So, I mean, it's just, it's almost, it's way better than the Wave, in my opinion. Just because you get everybody's voice involved and everybody's excited on their feet. It's a cool thing.
Jeff, how many dollar dogs could you crush throughout a game? I said 12 to 15. Joshy had 5, which seems light for him.
Okay.
10? Could you get to 10?
Oh, I could do 10. If I wasn't broadcasting, I could get to 10 for sure. I will say this. There was when I was in the minor leagues, they had a dollar brat night when I was in double A. And I was challenged by the local company to have one per inning while I was broadcasting. So I did do that. However, they did bring all of the brats to me at the same time at the beginning of the game. So about the sixth inning, those things were starting to be a little gray and not warm. So it was a tough thing to eat a whole brat in a half an inning during a commercial break, while also writing a post-game press release at the same time. So, you know, minor leagues wearing a lot of hats. And then I went a couple of years without having a brat after that.
Yeah.
But I think at this point in my life, I could probably do 10 dogs.
The thing about the dollar dog chew, it's like, for me, it was like 3.5 bites, right? Chomp, 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 half a chomp.
Yeah.
For you, it's probably two and a half.
Yeah.
So in that way, it feels like you could do more than you think.
Because a brat feels heavier.
It's because it is.
It is.
It's not a feel thing. That's just a fact.
Yeah, it's a fact. These are facts, man.
when I was dressing my dogs, the guy next to us unpacked, you know, they come in the aluminum foil, so he's unpacking it. He got teeny weenies. Havsies.
Oh.
He got havsies.
He got little smokies.
We're like, he's like, is this what the dollar dog is? And we looked at ours. We were like, ours are regular length. I don't know what to tell you. Sorry, but you got the short end of the dog.
Sounds like
a personal problem, pal.
Yeah, I would not want to be in that booth with the stomach grumbling.
Oh,
because baseball, you never know when the inning is going to end. You know,
and I'm solo. I didn't have a partner. Yeah. I was solo.
I mean, if I gotta go, man,
I'm in the bag.
I just get up and go here. I don't care. You know,
better than
dead air bell.
Yeah,
so he's like, they'll figure it out.
Jeff, the vibes are high, so I hate to bring it down, but what's up with Sal?
He just needs a day off, man. I think again, he's been having better at bats. He was good in Chicago. He's going to be fine. He's still playing outstanding defense in the outfield. Murph's high on him still. Sal's still high on himself. He's going to be fine. He's going to be fine. Just give it some time. It's okay, Gabe. We're going to be all right.
Breathe. You play golf. Look, you just told me your golf game stinks right now.
Yeah, it's not very good right now. But again, and I feel like we're having a different conversation because Sal's been in the bottom part of that third lineup and it hasn't been the best, especially the left side of the infield.
Yeah.
I feel like it's a different conversation, left side of the infield versus Sal, because I feel like, Sal's going to get so much leash to turn it around because of what he's been able to do in the past. And I just feel like he's one of those guys that you need in the lineup. And I think he's going to produce eventually, but it felt like he was turning the corner at one point, and then I just looked at his numbers for May, and it's like, oh, that's not nearly as what I thought it was.
He's still getting on base at a decent level. I mean, there's a lot of catcher's interference in there, but still, I mean, he's getting on base. He's having long
at-bats. Any way you got to do it, Jeff. It doesn't matter how.
Yeah. You're right. There's a lot of different ways to skin a cat, and he has proven that.
For whatever it's worth, Blake Perkins 0-for-4 with a strikeout yesterday in the lineup. Just put it out there for whatever it's worth. Informational only. Jeff, we appreciate you hanging out with us this morning. Have a great call today, and we'll see you again soon.
You got it, guys. See you next week.
That's Jeff Levering. Love having him on the show, especially after a big win like the Brewers. Was that a big win?
It was a good win.
Yesterday?
It was a good win.
It's a good win. Yeah. I'm still trying to process skin a cat. Why would you want to skin a cat?
That's a great question.
I figured you would have some sort of, you know, half-baked idea as to what skin a cat means.
I know when I go to the bathroom, the two of you are like, God, I wish he was back in Florida. His brain's even worse here.
No. You want to talk about energy in the ballpark?
0% chance.
Like, Jen talked about the energy in the ballpark when they were doing tarps off yesterday. Yeah. The energy in the studio when you're here is different.
But it's a Tuesday.
Yeah.
There's belief it comes from catfish, and cat is the short term because catfish don't have scales, so you would need to skin.
Of sense, okay. Because I couldn't imagine why anyone is out there skinning cats. Yeah. You know,
makes a lot more sense.
God, I bring value.
And you're modest too. Yeah,
the Ewald Automotive Group. They don't just see the uniform, they see the people in them. Ewald salutes those who serve and our brave first responders. They want to say thank you for your dedication, your service, and for keeping us safe. And as always, service members and their families can benefit from the Ewald Military Advantage Program with special pricing and incentives on every vehicle. Plus, for every car sold this month, they'll make a donation to a local military and first responder charity. Thank you from the Ewald Automotive Group.
It's Jen, Gabe, and Chewy.
Big hurt.
I heard that's like, eh.
Ron and the Keywagon say, you guys should slow down before you take on a sponsor.
Here I am.
On 94.5 ESPN.